This episode of the Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by MEI and Mouse Fan Travel, who provide you premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation time and dollar. Do yourself a favor. Give them a try at meitravel.com or Mouse Fan Travel. And by All Star Vacation Homes, who offers you the highest quality in vacation homes or condos. Hospitality has a new home, and its name is All Star Vacations. Visit them at www.allstarvacationhomes.com.
Hi, this is Liam Scudden-McLean, and you are listening to the Mickey Miles Podcast.
This is the Mickey Miles Podcast. From 5K fun runs to full marathons, this is the podcast that helps you learn everything you need to know about running Disney races. The Mickey Miles Podcast is not affiliated with, authorized, or endorsed by, or in any way officially connected with Run Disney, the Walt Disney Company, Disney Enterprises, Inc., or any of their affiliates. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles Podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean and Mike Scopa.
Welcome to episode 154 of the Mickey Miles Podcast. My name is Mike Scopa from WDW Today, and with me on the show, as always, my co-host, Dr. Michelle Scribner-McLean. How are you, Michelle?
Mike, I got to run outside this past weekend. It doesn't get any better than that. Woohoo! Got to be 43 degrees. Balmy. Yay!
And you know, it's funny because if you go back to September and if I said to you, Michelle, you're going to be running in 40 degree weather in March, you would say, no way, no way. But
I would have
guess
said,
what?
Blah.
But guess what?
Mike, I'm telling you, it was like a it was like a Disney movie. Like there were birds flying around my head, and music was coming from the mountains and over the snowbanks, and I was just so happy. Honestly, after 2 miles, I actually took a layer off, and I had short sleeves, and you know how cold I am all the time, so it was huge.
Yeah.
So
oh yeah,
so. Yay! So anyway, I have a shout out, and this is somebody who hasn't done this yet but has signed up for his first 10K. And one of our buddies, Charlie Conrad, who's a listener of the show and a Words with Friends competitor, he lives in California, and he and his son have signed up to do the son's first 10K together. The son's name is Bernie. So, Bernie, we're going to give you a shout-out because you're going to be doing your first 10K. Then they're going to do the Tower of Terror, just the two of them. So I just, you know, seeing people run with their kids, I think it's just so great in so many levels. We've talked about this before. It's a great model. It's a great bonding experience. And, you know, I think it's really showing kids a really fun lifestyle and, you know, something fun to do with your parents and something you can do forever and ever, right?
Yeah, it's something that I was never able to do with my parents. My kids aren't runners. I did run once in Walt Disney World with my son, but that was, you know, one and done.
That was running away from cops, though, right?
Yeah, that was running from – actually, we ran from the Wilderness Lodge to the back of the Magic Kingdom, into the Magic Kingdom, out of the Magic Kingdom, back to the Wilderness Lodge, to Fort Wilderness, and then back to the Wilderness Lodge. I think that was a little bit too far. He hasn't run since, I don't think so. But yeah, I agree. I think that it's a great thing. I think that it introduces a healthy lifestyle to children, and there's nothing bad about it. So mm-hmm. Cool. Good luck, Charlie. We are doing questions today, and I'm going to have Michelle do the honors of reading the first question. Michelle?
Sure. The first question is from Chad Warwick. From Norton, Mass, or if you're from around here. Mike, how would you say it?
Norton.
And he says, hello there. I'm relatively new to running, only about 4 months. I've progressed from barely being able to run a mile to running about 3 to 5 miles every other day. And it feels great, except after running, there's some muscle soreness now and then, or slight pain on the top of my foot, but it goes away in an hour. So I figured it's part of the normal aches and pains that come from running and using muscles in a way they're not used to. My question is, at what point does the soreness and the pains go from normal recovery to needing to see a doctor to make sure nothing happened? I'm very concerned about not pushing too hard and injuring myself before I even get to run my first 5K. Thank you, and I love your podcast, Chad. This is such a great question because we have so many new runners who are listening to the Mickey Miles podcast and on the Mickey Milers. What do you think, Mike?
It's very hard to offer any kind of medical advice because we're not doctors, we're not trainers, we're not physicians. But, you know, there are things that we've seen in the past and things that we've experienced that sometimes can help. One of the things I'm thinking about, Chad, is I'd like to know how long the soreness lasts. If it lasts, you know, for about a couple hours, then it goes away, then yeah, maybe you're pushing too hard, or it could be that there may be something to do with your running shoes. Maybe they're too stiff. There are so many reasons why we have soreness in our muscles. There are times when I know that I'll run for months without any problems, and then all of a sudden I'll have an ache or a pain. It's really hard to sometimes pinpoint what happens, what causes the soreness. My suggestion would be, it goes away in an hour. So there must be something going on possibly with your shoes. Because if it goes away, you know, in an hour, then maybe it has something to do with the conditioning of your shoes. Michelle?
Well, as I said, I do think this is a great question, and we're not that type of doctor, but I'll tell you what I think about this. So number one, I think there is some soreness that comes from using different muscles. And if you're running a little bit longer, you may find that there's some soreness the next day, some aches and pains, and that should go away in a few days. One of the things that I noticed, though, is that on some of my long runs, especially early on, I would change my stride and my knee might hurt or my Achilles might hurt. And one of the things that Jeff Galloway told me is if it is hurting, you should probably change what you're doing right away. So like if I'm running and yesterday I was running uphill and my stride was a little bit too long and I felt like my knees were achy, I changed my stride and that pain went away. Mm-hmm. So that's, you know, I think that's a good thing. If it's hurting, try to change what you're doing and stop it right away. The other thing too is that, for instance, I had an ongoing problem in my foot. I went to the doctor. The doctor didn't think it was anything, and then the pain continued, and I actually ran a half marathon, went back to the doctor, and it ended up being a stress fracture. So that's where the pain continued or got worse, and I think that's another red flag that you should go to a doctor and make sure that it's nothing else. But ask runner friends, you know, if you say, I have a pain here and there, people might suggest what it might be. Mike?
Michelle, didn't you have what was called a neuroma?
That's what they thought my stress fracture was, a neuroma in my foot, and it turned out to be a stress fracture. He said it wasn't, but it was. So doctors aren't always correct either, but I think, you know, it was on me to go back and say, something's not right here because this is not getting better. It's getting worse every time I run.
I think that if the pain was in between your training sessions, Chad, you know, I'd have a lot of concern. It could be a number of things. Sometimes when you run too fast or you run too much, sometimes too soon in your training, sometimes your body is saying, you know, I know what you want to do, but can we just slow it down a little bit? Can we just take it easy? Because I need to learn what you want from me. So I would say just be careful, watch it. If it continues, you may want to strongly consider going to see your primary care physician and let him know. Keep track of the pain, keep track of the soreness, and if it kind of goes down over time, then it's definitely your body learning what it wants you to do. Michelle?
I just want to second that because I think that sometimes when you're enthusiastic, you can't up that mileage too much. Mm-hmm. And I would say no more than about 10% a week or so. All right. Next one, Mike?
Next one comes from Daniel Amini. Amini? Amini. And Daniel says, hi, I just read about this brand of running shoes. I really miss running as I have no cartilage in my right knee. Eddie McCoy wrote a review of Hoka Oni Ones, or One Ones, whatever you prefer. There was a reference to a lack of cartilage in the right knee. Is that Eddie or Michelle? Anyway, I just wanted to know if it's worth buying a pair and trying running again. Thanks. So, Daniel, I believe Eddie has, I'm not sure which knee, but he has no cartilage in one of his knees. And he says that the Hokas really, really help him. He was running fast before the Hokas. He runs fast with the Hokas. It's very dangerous, in my opinion, to say that a pair of running shoes will take care of something that is a medical condition in your legs. I have an injured left knee, and I personally don't believe that shoes are the answer. There's a whole bunch of things that you can do, and again, I would suggest going to a orthopedic surgeon or someone who is an expert, a sports physician, and ask him or her for some advice to help you. And the reason why I say this is that I noticed that in your letter you said you want to try running again and start off with the Hokas. I strongly don't recommend that, because those are very specific shoes, and I have a lot of friends who've tried them and they're now in the closet. So if you want to get back to running, I think first you may want to take a trip to your primary care or orthopedic surgeon and ask for advice. Michelle?
Well, I don't believe Eddie uses the Hokas, but I know that that post on our blog is probably the most well-read. We interviewed Mike Wardian, who uses them and is very happy. I did buy some. I thought it might help my Achilles problem. It didn't, and it also, my knees started hurting. So I would have to disagree with Mike agree and disagree. I agree that shoes are not always the answer, but sometimes they can be the answer. And I would go to a reputable local running store where they have a policy to let you use the shoes maybe for a few days or a few weeks and allow you to bring them back. Go out and use them and see what they do. Also, I think going to a podiatrist is helpful. I know that I don't have arch problems, but I went and I was telling the podiatrist that my feet got very sore after I ran long distances, and he recommended Superfeet, which I use as inserts. So, people's biology, anatomy, people's makeup, their feet, their legs, it's going to be different for everybody, so there's not one right solution. Hokas may not work for you, and they may work for you. So my biggest advice is go to a great running store, have them watch you run, let them take, if they allow you to take the shoes and use them, then that's what I would definitely do. That's not a service that you're going to get if you go to a sports authority. So that's what I would do. All right. So the next question is from our buddy Brian Marks, and he says, I'm a DVC member and my home resort is Animal Kingdom Lodge. Since I will be staying there for Wine and Dine half, how would you suggest getting to and from the race and the expo? I'm assuming that the Animal Kingdom Lodge will not be a host resort since it wasn't listed for as one for the last year. What do you think? Thanks. Well, Brian, it's really interesting. I don't think it was, but a lot of these races now are so big that Disney's offering entertainment. They're offering transportation from a lot of the different resorts. So I don't know. It may be. What do you think, Mike?
I agree, Michelle. I think that when you're talking about a field of 20,000+ runners for a half marathon, you're now getting close to what we see in January. And this past Princess Half, we saw almost 25,000. And I don't remember if Animal Kingdom Lodge was a host resort. But my guess is, Brian, that there will be some Disney transportation offered. I'm not saying that with a guarantee, but my guess is that there will be something offered. And I would like to ask if there are any listeners out there who stayed at the Animal Kingdom Lodge for the last Wine and Dine, let us know how you managed to get to the start. The thing is that there's always the option of a car rental, and you could do that if you really had to. But my guess is that there'll be some kind of transportation offered from the from the Disney people.
I really agree, Mike. I just think that because there are just so many people at these races and they're staying all over the place. And Animal Kingdom is a deluxe resort, so to me it would seem like a no-brainer that they would offer you entertainment. Why do I keep on saying entertainment? Transportation. Yes, transportation. So, Brian, that's a great race. You're going to have a great time.
Good luck, Brian. Our next question comes from Joseph Graffiti Hall. And it's a very interesting letter and question. So here it is. He says, hi, guys. Thanks so much for your awesome podcast. This year I'm running my first marathon as part of the Goofy Challenge. And needless to say, I'm a tad bit obsessed about pacing, mainly for the marathon on Sunday. My question is, do you know if there is a certain part of the course where they stop sweeping? For example, at the Wine and Dine half, once we reached the sidewalk area outside of Hollywood Studios, they told us we were safe from being swept at that point. Do you know if it's the same for the marathon? I ran the entire Wine and Dine at 16 minutes per mile, but noticed the balloon ladies were about a quarter to half a mile behind me at all times. I started in the last corral, but made sure I was close to the front. Also, for some reason, there was a major confusion about where the front of the corral was in Corral L this year at Wine and Dine half, but that's another story. Thanks again for all the support and encouragement and tons of useful info you guys provide. I'm so thankful for you. Happy running. Michelle, you want to take the first crack at this?
Sure. So I guess, Joseph, my first question to you would be, if you were here, Joseph, I would say, hey, Joseph, why are you running the Goofy if you haven't run a marathon yet? I would recommend that you run a marathon first. You didn't ask us that question, but as somebody who's kind of been through this whole process, I'm really happy that I went from half to just doing, not just doing a marathon, but just focusing on the marathon and then from there moving up to the Goofy. So that's my first thing. To answer your question more specifically, having run this marathon twice now, my guess would be you're going to be safe after about mile 22 when you're getting into the studios, because you're going through the studios and then through the back, out the entrance of the studios towards Beach Club and Boardwalk and into Epcot that way, where there are smaller paths. So I think after about mile 22, you should be okay. If you're sticking with that 16-minute mile. Another strategy, if you are worried about pacing that we've mentioned many times, is to run shorter races with faster times, a 10K or half marathon, to push yourself up to a higher corral, and that will give you a little bit more than 16-minute mile. But Joe, really consider doing a marathon first. And because you live in Florida, there are probably some local ones that you can do. That's what I would say. Mike?
You know, Michelle, I want to echo what you said, because when I realized that Joe was doing 16 minutes per mile for the Wine and Dine, I'm thinking, okay, so that was for a half. What would his energy level be for a marathon the very next day? So, again, I think that what you said is a good idea. Joe, you should find a marathon or at least try to eventually bridge to a marathon. Maybe you can find something that's between a half and a full, and then eventually try a full before you try the Goofy. One of the things you need to figure out is recovery in between those two races, and you don't have several days. You have several hours. You have half a day or maybe 20 hours to recover. As far as the last sweeping point for the marathon, I don't know exactly where it is. I think Michelle's point is a good point. I have heard that people have been swept while in the studios. That has never been validated. I just heard it second and third hand. The thing I presume that there is a bus, a sweeper bus, just before you get into the studios, and
yes,
that may
there
be
is.
There.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
And so that bus, at one point, there is a cutoff, and they will put a barrier up, and all those runners who are behind that barrier will be put on that bus. And I think you're right, Michelle. That's got to be somewhere around the 20. It's between 20 and 23. I'm not sure exactly where.
I'm thinking it's between 21 and 22.
Okay. So and again, like Joe says, there is a the path to Boardwalk. Once you're on that path, I believe you're pretty safe. So I would use that. So again, I think the most important thing here, though, is for you to really get a taste for what it means to run 26 miles, because it's a completely different beast than 13.1. And I think once you get that under your belt and figure out how that is, I think you'll be able to figure out how you're going to negotiate 13.1 one day and 26.2 the next day. And then if you can do that, then you won't have to worry about being swept. But thanks for the letter. Keep us informed.
And I want to say too, Joe, that it doesn't mean that you can't do your first full marathon as part of Goofy, but I just want you to enjoy it and not be stressed out. And I think if you have a marathon under your belts, you didn't ask us that, but that's my two cents. Okay. The next question is from Ashley Page, and Ashley is from Australia. And she says, "Hey guys, I just wanted a little bit of reassurance from the Mickey Milers crew. I have booked flights over from Australia for Wine and Dine, the Wine and Dine half, and, fingers crossed, the Avengers half and 5K. In everyone's experience, if you are on the website as soon as registration opens, do you normally manage to register? Especially those who have experienced the craziness of Dobie Glass Slipper Challenge and Dumbo Double Dare. I mean, has a race ever sold out within minutes of opening, or usually at least a couple of hours? Knowing that's a couple of hours would really put my mind at ease. Obviously, no guarantees, but my experience, predictions made by the Mickey Miles crew tend to be pretty accurate. Thanks." Well, it's interesting, Ashley. The Wine and Dine went on sale, and it was sold up very, very quickly. And I know, looking at Facebook, that you did get into that. I would guess for this Avengers, I'm going to use my Disney Vacation Club they opened it up a few days early for Disney Vacation Club people and for annual pass, and usually for the Disney Visa card. I'm going to use that. But I know when I was going to sign up for Dumbo Double Dare, another inaugural race at Disneyland, Mike, I think it was less than an hour that sold out. And I would guess, because this is going to be a wildly different race weekend than any other that they have with the theming for the Avengers, that Ashley, I would be ready to go if you can, because I think this is going to go very, very quickly. Mike?
You know, Michelle, it's kind of funny. Over the last couple of weeks, we've been talking to folks and trying to figure out, you know, what we were going to do. And there were a lot of people who did not sign up for Tower Terror because they were going to do Wine and Dine. And then when the Avengers race was announced, there was another option opened. And for a lot of people, they said, well, we're still going to do Wine and Dine, or we're not going to do Avengers or whatever. But I think that it's just amazing how quickly the races are filling up. I remember years ago waiting till maybe right around Thanksgiving, when all the races for January would be finally filled up. But for inaugural races, those are the ones that seem to fill up much, much quicker than the usual legacy ones. And for the Avengers, I'm expecting that will sell out in less than an hour. And any type of advantage you can get, Ashley, to do it, I would take advantage of it. I think that it'll sell out fast. I think that we may see a race sell out faster than any other time. And I think it's going to draw a lot of people who are east of the Mississippi, as well as those who are on the West Coast. Michelle?
Well, I have a comment and then I have a question for you. The first is that, Mike, I just wanted to mention that you and I really thought a lot about this, because we usually do Wine and Dine. And we decided that we're going to do Avengers. We're not going to do Wine and Dine this year. So that was a tricky decision, because I do love Wine and Dine. But I have a question for you, Mike, which is, when when did you notice that somebody who's a veteran of years of Disney races, when did this start? You know, I know that in the time that you and I have known each other, it's ramped up, and I think now it's a frenzy. I think Disney capitalizes on this too. Run Disney capitalizes on it too. They advertise and they want it to be sold out. But now it's like a, you know, people are, where's the link and when is it going to be open? When did this start?
Well, it's kind of funny because as far as maybe three, four, 5 years ago, it was still a struggle. And I know at one point I kind of joked, as I'd say as recently as 2009, thinking, wow, they're not even going to sell out for a half or for the full in January. And, you know, they usually around the first, second, or third week in November, the registration would be filled. What has happened is that I believe Disney has figured out a way to touch those people who were always on the fence about running. And I think that a lot of marketing savvy has come into this. I think that there's – but if I had to put my finger on what has caused this, it's word of mouth. It's people who have come back, who have friends, who have relatives, who have neighbors, who have colleagues, fellow workers, and they tell them about the experience. And a lot of these people may not have been Disney fans, just runners, and they've decided, I need to try that. Or – they have been, and I think this is the bigger chunk of people, Disney fans who have become runners. I think that's where it comes in. I think that over the last 5 years, I have seen more people that I've come in contact with who have gone from couch to 5K and beyond. And I think it's just a big deal. And not only that, but there's a running community. There's a Disney running community. There's Mickey Miles. There was Team All Ears. There's WW Marathon Radio Running Team. There's so many running teams and communities out there that it's like a party now. So I think that that plays into it. And it's going to continue. I think that there will be adjustments that will have to be made by many of us who see the registrations going up. And if we want to continue running, we have to figure out how we're going to afford it. But I think that it's going to continue. And I think you have to be ready. And so, Ashley, good luck. And we hope to see you. We won't see you at Wine and Dine. And we hope to see you at the Avengers. We hope we get in too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I think you made some great points, Mike. It's another way to experience Disney, which is one of the things that we talk about a lot on this podcast. I think we can close up the mailbag for now. I want to thank Alex Armas, who's our mail person. He's our mail. He's helping us to put the questions together, and it's terrific. We're so lucky to have such a great team of people helping us.
Thank you, Alex. Yeah, he's our mailman. I guess that'll do it. So until next time, this is Mike Scopa and Michelle Scribner-McLean saying we'll see you on the road.
The Mickey Miles Podcast has been brought to you by All Star Vacation Homes. And if you're looking for the highest quality vacation home or condo for your next vacation, then you need to visit www.allstarvacationhomes.com, where hospitality has a new home. And also brought to you by MEI and Mouse Fan Travel. No one can give you better service and get more for your vacation dollar than the vacation planners at MEI and Mouse Fan Travel. So for your next Disney or non-Disney vacation, your first stop should be to go to MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
Thanks for joining us on today's episode of the Mickey Miles Podcast. We hope you enjoyed listening. Our discussion continues on Facebook at facebook.com/Mickey Miles Podcast, where you can give us your comments and feedback on the show. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/Mickey Miles Pod. And if you have any questions for us, you can send them to questions@MickeyMilesPodcast.com. We'll try to answer them as soon as possible. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles Podcast, this is Rick Gray saying until next time, thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the road.